Well, folks, welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson here with you, and I hope your April is off to a great start. If not, it will improve with this week's show. In fact, let me go ahead and give you a little heads up of what is coming up. Later on for our inbox, we have a listener who asked me, what are some life-altering moments you've had in your walk with the Lord? And I'm going to go ahead and answer that, even though, you know, I'm only like 24 years old, and so I haven't lived a lot of life, of course, but no, I'm just kidding. That said, yes, absolutely. There are some great, what I call, quoting Beth Moore, God stops in my life, so I'm going to share those. Then for our culture segment, Janine Amapola is back here at The Boundless Show for part two of a conversation that's based on her brand new book, Becoming Happy and Healthy. And if you listened last week, you know that we had a great time bouncing around, around a lot of topics. And so this week, we're going to talk about good habits, how to hear from God, and how to live life with a sense of adventure. So wide variety there for you. All right, here we are for our roundtable. And we have brought three of our friends in. We have John, Sterling, and Laura. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Great to have you. We're going to have a conversation around music. And so I love it when we do these because I always have strong opinions on stuff. And I'm going to try to listen to everyone else's opinions, even though mine are the best. So, but we're going to talk about music's influence on us and maybe how, whether or not we're one track people or we pepper it with a lot of different maybe genres or what that looks like, maybe some profound moments that we've experienced music. And so, I don't know. Are you guys ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
Ready to talk?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is going to be fun. So I want to start out by just like, let's kind of give an overview of background with music, like listening to music, playing music, experience of different types of music. Where have you been on that road?
So I started playing piano when I was 7, and I kept going until I minored in it in college. I've been in all kinds of different bands and ensembles and orchestras and whatever. And my bachelor's degree is actually in audio engineering with an emphasis on recording music.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, so wait, the bands and orchestras, did you play piano or something else?
I played mallet percussion high school. And so I played a lot of percussion stuff. And then when opportunities came up, I also played piano. I was in jazz band. I was terrible.
Mallet percussion is like hitting a piano with sticks.
Basically, that's why I played it. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of fun. Sterling, how about you?
Yeah, I remember a lot of music from a young age, growing up in kind of church worship environments. My dad was a pastor of a small church for a while, and my mom led the worship. So I grew up hearing just lots of music. I eventually ended up teaching myself piano and guitar when I was in my early teens. Mm-hmm. And I've continued with that, but I don't know, not advanced crazily. Mm-hmm. I'm proficient enough, and I enjoy playing music quite a bit these days.
Okay, good.
Both of my parents were musicians. My father was a drummer and my mother was a piano player, but I represent the portion of the population who plays our playlists, but we don't actually play an instrument. Uh-huh. So I am a huge music fan. I enjoy going to concerts, but I'm not a musician like Laura and Sterling are.
Yeah. It's funny because I was thinking like just my first thoughts about answering this question were more along the lines of you, John, of like, what do I listen to or what types of music, what playlists do I have? But I will say going back, my family was also, well, I shouldn't say that. Both my parents were great singers and they sang in a lot of choirs and stuff, but no one played instruments. In fact, all my siblings were given piano lessons and they would go hide out by the trash cans when the piano teacher came. So finally, my mom's like, we're not investing in this. And then in fifth grade, I started playing the flute and I took lessons for 17 years and ended up playing in ensembles and different people's weddings and different orchestras and stuff like that. So that was cool. And I also have sung a fair amount as well. But yeah, but when it comes to like listening to music, okay, I'm going to be honest. First of all, growing up, anything that wasn't Christian music was straight up of the devil. So that was all just canceled, you know, even though my elder siblings played it all. So I kind of got, you know, their likes in my head of like what my brother would play sneakily. all the 80s classic rock and stuff that he was into. And then I just kind of got super eclectic in my taste, everything from pop to rock to Southern gospel. Y'all know that I love that. Okay. So yeah, it really does run the gamut. So I do want to ask that, like, do you have, whether it's playing music or listening to music, do you have certain types or genres that you most resonate with that are kind of your jam, or do you go all over the map?
Well, I absolutely go all over the map in genre terms. Mm-hmm. It almost always is a very energetic, high-paced feel. I'm not a slow song person.
Okay.
So I'll listen to—
No Bee Gees for you or any—
Well, no, I do like Bee Gees.
Oh, okay. Oh, now, okay. Here we go.
There's exceptions to everything I say. Okay. But I appreciate some of their more dance numbers than the slower numbers. I feel like different seasons in my life give themselves better to different genres. And a couple years ago, I kind of really got into more of a heavy metal rock, even metalcore screamo sort of genre. And it's—
Sterling, I'm hearing my dad in my head. Is that even music? Is
yeah.
That,
well,
okay. Nice.
Dad, we'll talk about it when I get to heaven. Okay. I can't even go there right
my
now.
My dad is still talking about it here.
Yeah. Well, there you go. See, you don't even need my dad to tell you.
I am very selective with the contents.
Okay.
I enjoy the musical presentation of the energy and sometimes even emotions like anger. But I am more aware of the contents of the songs. There are some things where it's like, this lyrical content just is too over the top and does not edify me and my spirit. But there are others that can just take the energy from it and I can have fun with it without feeling like my dad's gonna scold me.
Yeah. No, that's good.
I have about four that I really go around a lot with. And
You've got some screamo too, right?
Oh, yes. Okay. Absolutely. Well, I do. Occasionally, I will go to metal shows. You may see me in a mosh pit. Not as much as my brother, but shout out to you, Jared. Love you, man. He was the one that got me into it. But yes, I do occasionally. That's
I have
one
to laugh because John's sitting here like in a polo shirt, and it doesn't really seem like he's going to jump in a mosh pit anytime soon. So I'm a little bit off kilter with this. But go ahead, John.
But I also love rock music. I love country. That probably won't surprise anyone because of my accent. And then I also love worship music. So hey, we've got to have music that sets our mind on the Lord. With all that's going on in the world.
That's probably very true. All right, Laura.
I just want to say in their defense that heavy metal actually is some of the most theoretically complicated music that is available for people to listen to. So anyways, I listen to a lot of Broadway.
Wow. Nice.
Usually I can't think of anything else I want to listen to, so I just put Broadway on. I do sing along.
Okay.
I have playlists made specifically for singing along.
Okay.
But when I'm playing music, I'm mostly playing classical.
Okay.
Beethoven and
what's
Haydn,
your
whatever.
When you're thinking of Broadway, what is one song that just is like, if you could perform it on stage, you would do it?
Oh, last night while I was doing the dishes, I was singing Beauty and the Beast, Tale as Old as Time, Song as Old as Rhyme.
Wow.
But I won't do it for you now.
Okay. While doing the dishes. That's so good. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think too. I did say a couple of my genres. Definitely a fan of pop and rock. Also some Southern gospel. Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, how I used to love and actually curate like classical music and actually know composers and I minored in music in college as well. And I'm like, they've not ended up on my playlist because my playlists are just lame. I need to improve them. I mean, they're just, I need to put some time and attention to it. I've not done a good job with that. And so I just have kind of the same old, same old.
Same.
Yeah, that are a little bit weak, if we're being honest. So let's talk a little bit about, because we know now, speaking of creating playlists, so many things are available to us. I mean, it used to be like, hey, grandmas and grandpas, you know, whatever you had on a record or whatever is what you just played. And that was it. You know, some people had like 12 selections of music in their homes. And now you have the whole world opened up to you. So what does that mean? I know, John, you've even talked about like sometimes having to even curtail music. You can get so down rabbit trails and getting into different playlists and whatever that you're kind of like, whoa, I need to actually kind of do something because you get really swept up in it. So how have you kind of helped yourself curate music in a way that's beneficial, but also, you know, just looking at that practically speaking?
Yeah, kind of to what Sterling was saying earlier, I definitely have to be guarded on some of the content that I'm listening to. And at the same time, you balance it out with stuff that is motivating. For example, I mean, sometimes hard rock music, when I'm at the gym, is extremely motivating. It really is. Or if I am having trouble going to sleep, worship music has a way of calming my soul that is very, very helpful. I think also for me as well, the one type of music I have to be guarded against, I can't listen to anything that's overtly sexual in content because I know that would be a temptation for me. Yeah. And so that's that for me, I just don't even go there with my music choices because I know, hey, I need to guard my heart because I don't even want those thoughts popping in my head or those lyrics popping in my head specifically.
Yeah, that's a good point. Either of you two have ways that you figure out what you're listening to and when?
I have a couple playlists of the songs that I like. And every now and then I will try to tell, you know, the streaming service that I'm using, make me a playlist based off of this. Because there's so much available now that it's just, how do you even find something new? And a lot of times I have to go into the settings on my phone and put parental controls on my own phone because the stuff it brings up is so explicit that it's not what I'm looking for. So if you guys have suggestions of how to find other music, I am open.
All those explicit Broadway numbers.
You have to be shocked.
Well, okay. That is true. Yeah, we do have to watch it all, I guess. So I don't know. Sterling?
I spend a lot of time picking and choosing, which is kind of how I end up listening to a little bit of everything. I have a few bands where I'm like, I like all of that band. I have some albums where I'm like, this is a perfect album. I'm going to listen to this album straight through. I love this album. But the bulk of my listening activity really is just kind of hunting and pecking for things that I feel like are good. And then I'll add those to playlists. I have just on my streaming service, the master liked playlist where I can just go back and see everything that I've liked. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know what mood I was in that day when I liked that. But in that way, I am curating more to my taste and what I find enjoyable rather than like what's the mood for a playlist or the occasion. Like many playlists are rightfully meant for. But I don't fall into as many pitfalls of, man, I really like this one song on this album, but the rest of the album is junk. Or I like most of the album, but there's a couple album songs that I just can't get past. Mainly for content reasons.
Okay. Is there anyone here who considers themselves a music snob? Like, because that's one thing that really intimidates me. The people that are always finding the most obscure, most real, like this person just dropped something 3 days ago and this person already has it on their play. I'm just like, come on now. I don't know. Do you ever feel like FOMO about like, do I really know? I mean, Laura, I thought of this as you were talking. Do I really know all that's out there? You know, how am I going to find the newest stuff? How am I? I'm still stuck in, you know, 2004 with my music choices. So I don't know. How do you guys feel about that? Or are you okay just kind of with your jams that you have? And maybe if something new comes along, you're cool.
I'm definitely more the latter. Unless there is a band who has an album coming out that I really want to listen to, I'm great with going back and listening to stuff that I listened to as a kid. And personally, some of the contemporary Christian music that came out as a kid, man, I have a huge sentimental draw to that because it reminds me of when I was in the car and we were just driving around with my mom and I was a kid and this song would come on the radio. But no, it I wouldn't say I'm a music snob per se.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I always go back to the same things that I've always listened to. And every now and then my phone will pop up a notification going, hey, this band or artist that you've listened to before just released a new album. You should listen to it. I'm like, yeah, I should listen to it. And then by the time that I have time to listen to it, I've forgotten about it.
And then you're just singing Beauty and the Beast again.
Sad, right? I mean, it's like, I mean, how can you not?
Yeah, that is true. Okay, that's good. Good point.
Well, I'll round it out by saying no. Okay. I don't consider myself either. I have occasionally been accused of being one by somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might mean you are, Sterling.
It's in very specific circumstances. It's not in general. It had more to do with I was explaining my interpretation, my uneducated interpretation of music theory to somebody. Oh. And they were trying to relate. And they're like, oh, so it's like this. I'm like, no. It's like what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. So what would you guys say is it's interesting because I'm thinking of this and I'm like older than all of you here. And I remember, like, again, Christian music for me, there's been a huge shift in Christian music in the last couple decades because it used to be other than like people that did like church music or whatever, there wasn't a lot of recorded like playlist / on the radio / whatever worship music out there. And now a lot of people, when they think of Christian music, they specifically think of worship music. They go to Hillsong, they go to Bethel, they go to, you know, Elevation, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And it's interesting because when I was a little kid, it was all like Amy Grant, Newsboys. Mm-hmm. It was all people that wrote their own music and did catalogs and it wasn't as much a worship context. And I think with the advent, especially of social media and sharing and the ability to like have these experiences with other people, even remotely, I don't know. Do you guys think of that? I mean, do you mostly gravitate towards like a worship style of music or are there like Christian bands that you would go and see like for a concert?
It's definitely Christian bands. I have nothing against listening to worship music, but when I put something on, it is almost always that nostalgic Christian music from my childhood, especially Newsboys, older Newsboys with Peter Furler as a singer.
Original Newsboys.
Yeah, my favorite album is a Newsboys album. Oh. Perfect album, Thrive, from 2002. Yep. It is a perfect album. I will listen to that all the way through, and that is like, I feel edified and built up. I also feel extremely edified when I listen to Bethel or like Elevation Worship. But if I need to turn something on to center my mind, I'm probably going to turn on that because it's good. Or if I want to have something more energetic, I'll turn on old Toby Mac.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is when I grew up in a Christian household, living and breathing Christian things in a Christian culture of my house, that is what I think of. And so that brings a lot of goodness to me.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
When I think of Christian music, I definitely think of Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh my
I grew up in the era when he was very much in his prime, per se. And I remember songs like Dive, The Great Adventure.
Yeah.
So many fun songs that came out when I was growing up. I think Great Adventure actually came out before I was born, but it was still popular even I was a kid. And definitely, I still appreciate a lot of the modern worship stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what mood I'm in.
Okay.
I will say this, I saw Mercy Me in concert a couple years ago, and they were another group I grew up with. They were awesome.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with their live show.
That's great.
So if I'm going to listen to Christian music, which is where I'm gravitating to more and more these days, I will listen to more of the modern worship stuff, Bethel, Elevation, Maverick City. But usually where I end up is I have a playlist where I've put some of my favorite songs, no matter what decade they're from.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got Do It Again by Elevation Worship, but I've also got songs by Phillips Craig and Dean on there. So it's
That is a lot. That's a wide.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just what ministers to my heart.
Okay. Okay. So this is just kind of a fun question and we'll wrap it kind of here. I want to hear your song, both a Christian song. I'm going to have you do two. Christian song and like a general market, like secular song, whatever, of any genre that you want, that anytime it would come up on a playlist, you would not skip it. So this is like you're going to listen to the whole thing regardless of it showing up and whatever. So I'll go ahead and start to give you guys a couple seconds to think. I would say I just know this is true of me. And it's not even a song I necessarily love, but it's so nostalgic for me. Anytime I hear Toto's Africa from the 80s,
yes,
is like the best. Yes. I will listen to that so song good. All the way through. There is just something so unique about it and the vibe. And it brings me back to, I don't even know what I was in, probably fifth grade, third, first grade. I don't even know when that came out, when I couldn't listen to that music. That one is just like, it. I just vibe with it totally. Probably a Christian song that comes out. I'm gonna say, and there are a number probably on this list, but one that definitely comes to mind is In the Light by DC Talk off their Jesus Freak album.
Yes.
Again, just the vibe, the acoustic guitar, the poppiness of it. It's just a bop for me, so I love it. And I love those lyrics as well. Old school DC Talk, I love you.
Yes. Okay.
All right, who else?
So for me, my Christian song would be Defender by Rita Springer.
Mm.
And there's a whole story there.
Okay.
But we don't have time for that right now.
See, now we're just going to start adding to our playlist. Right? Write these down, people.
Right?
These are great.
I've got my phone out ready to add your guys' songs. And then my secular song would be 1 Week.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's just so much fun. And I tried to learn the whole like bridge section, and I know actually a decent portion of it.
It's been
1 week since you looked at me.
All right. I wasn't sure.
We can only sing 30 seconds of it.
3 seconds.
No, okay, go. Yeah, go ahead, Stormy.
My Christian song, I think it would be Ancient of Days by Ron Canole.
That is a good one.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
From the 90s. Ron Canole was like the first guy I remember hearing music from in a conscious way, like when I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
That has just really stuck with me. And it's not really representative of my typical music tastes, but Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. That's just, I'm just going to play that every time.
Huh.
I played that a lot in 2020 when I was hanging around doing stuff in the backyard because I couldn't go anywhere else.
Okay.
Every time.
Yeah.
Blinding Lights.
Good.
This is so tough because it honestly changes. And it's been that way since I was a kid, because there would be a song that I would wear out for a 2 or 3 years, and then it would change,
mm-hmm.
both Christian and secular.
Mm-hmm.
I'll narrow it down to a couple. Right now, a worship song that I am listening to a lot is one by Red Rocks Worship. It's called Good Plans.
Mm.
And I think they're actually local here in Colorado. But yeah, that song I have just really had on repeat recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think another one that would be secular, I've mentioned this before on the show, but the Sound of Silence cover that Disturbed does.
Wow.
Oh, I just... the first time I listened to it, I probably listened to it 20 times, and that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Well, to that point, okay, I'll close us with two. One, I have to just say, because so that not everyone thinks I'm like a 1980s, 90s grandma, my latest jam, Christian jam, has been Elevation's Praise. I mean, that's one that I could just put on, and it's just a jam that I love to clean to. I love to drive to. It's just really, really neat, and it just pumps me up. But I was thinking of the ones that you've played out. Speaking of, nod to Sterling, Not Ashamed by the Newsboys, which is off their, I think, second album ever. I was in college playing that, and I think I played that song on repeat, I want to say 30 times in a row. I was driving cross country, so let's just be honest. And I memorized the whole thing, and I still will listen to that all the time.
That's such an earworm synth.
It is. Yeah, exactly. Yep. It's perfect. So you guys, thanks so much for a fun conversation. This was awesome. And now I have some new song ideas.
That's right.
Likewise.
Yes.
Thanks,
here we go.
Lisa.
Send my eyes to see you, Jesus, in all your glory. Turn my eyes to my heart to sing and wonder of how
All right, folks, here we are for our culture segment. If you listen regularly, you know that last week we were talking to our friend Janine Amapola. She has a brand new book. It's titled Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. We had such a fun time last week talking about a number of themes in the book, and I was like, well, we got to bring you back this week because we have a few more to talk about, and so we are going to do that. So Janine, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lisa, for having me back. I'm excited to hang out again.
Always fun. For those of you who don't know Janine, and I know a lot of you do because you've hit us up, you know, on social and whatnot and said, hey, you know, I heard you here or I heard her and whatever. She is a podcast host, so similar to our show, kind of making it happen on the regular. It's called The Happy and Healthy with Janine Amapola podcast. And she's actually been creating content. In fact, last week she was talking about just kind of taking the leap into social media right out of college. Has been YouTubing since 2014 and is a speaker, also a content creator, and now an author, which is super exciting for us to be able to celebrate that with her. And so, Janine, I said last week at the end of our show that, or at the end of the interview, that I was going to make you tell on yourself again with another topic of the book, because I think this one is really great. You actually have a section in the book on habits and the value of healthy habits and going after rhythms and just basically behaviors that really set us up for success on a number of different fronts. And so I know you struggled in the past with bad habits. So please help us all feel better by telling us what some of those were and how you got in down that kind of train wreck of just letting everything go kind of all at once.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Gosh, habits are such an interesting thing because, like, I feel like this is such a buzzword nowadays, but I really do think it has the power to transform your life. And habits, I love this quote from Craig Rochelle. He says, habits are what you do consistently, not occasionally. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people think, you know, build habits. It's like, I'll do it once a week or I'll do this every other day. And really, habits are this daily thing that you do. And so before I had habits, I was super unmotivated. I procrastinated like nobody's business. Very inconsistent on health. I ate box macaroni probably every day, the ramen noodles, classic college student, moved back to Dallas and just was like, what? How do I do this? And so I really started getting invested into health content online and started watching recipe videos. And I joined a gym that held me accountable. So I think one tip that I am going to have for you guys, if you're trying to build healthy habits, is accountability and starting something small. And so I tried the whole overnight change. I tried the fad diets and getting rid of all the food that was bad for me and the sugar and all the things, and then going keto or doing counting macros and counting calories. And of course, to my surprise, I failed every single time. And I was like, why do I keep failing? And I beat myself up and I did the whole shame cycle and I'd rinse and repeat. And I'm sure maybe the listeners here are like, man, that's me. That was me for many years. And so finally, when I was like, I need to get off the cuckoo train, the crazy spiral, and just get some help, I reached out to a nutritionist to help me build better habits food-wise. I stopped over trying to control everything. I stopped counting my macros, stopped counting my calories. And I said, okay, what's the one thing I can do daily? I can daily incorporate some sort of vegetable into my meal. I can work out daily. And so another way I think that's really important when you are trying to build habits is having something that really puts your money on the line or puts something on the line where you, if you don't do it, you lose out on something. And so for me, I joined a gym and I said, why would I pay all this money if I'm not going to go? Why would I book the class if I'm not going to go? And so having some sort of incentivization or accountability on the other line is going to hold you accountable. And so I found myself consistently going to the gym when I made a plan, I made an action, and I said, I'm going to do this one thing for 1 hour every single day. It wasn't a 3-hour thing. It wasn't a crazy overnight change. It was one workout for 1 hour every single morning. I made it an action and I did it. And all of a sudden I was like, wait, this is kind of fun. I want to keep doing this. And it all of a sudden it didn't become this thing I had to do. It was something I enjoyed doing. And so it really did transform my life. I'm still working on other habits now, but health and fitness and Bible reading, food, journaling, all those things became a daily habit that I now just incorporate every day. And it really has transformed my life.
Yeah, that's good. And it's interesting because I know you also, you talk about the value of making specific goals, not saying these random generalizations like you, I'll read, this is something you say in the book. You say, instead of just saying you want to get closer to God, get more specific. Like, I want to be a Jesus follower who reads the word daily, attends church weekly, serves at church once a month, gives away at least 10% of my income, and meets weekly with other believers. So, and not that you have to like write that down and do all of that in 1 week, but right. At the same time, you're actually saying something that is specific and attainable, which is so helpful, I think, for our minds to process rather than the vagary of like, yeah, you know, I'd like more God in my life. Like, okay, what does that mm-hmm. mean?
Yeah, I feel like especially when we all start the year, we write our resolutions and a lot of us are saying, I want to travel more. I want to work out more. I want to, you know, connect with my friends more. And if you don't get specific, you're not going to do it. I think if there's ambiguity, you're not going to do it. So the more specific, the more you can make it a plan, the more you can write it down and see it, the more likely you're going to do it. And so for me, it was like, I'm not going to say, oh, I want to be a Jesus follower. It's like, well, what does a Jesus follower look like? That looks like someone that attends church. It looks like someone that reads God's word. And so getting specific to what is the identity that I want and what follows that identity. Mm-hmm. I talk about running. If I say, I want to be a runner, well, I'm not going to be a runner if I don't run, you know, and what does that look like? Mm-hmm. That means running 30 minutes a day or buying the running shoes. And so creating a plan to follow that identity is going to really help you create that habit.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we had touched on this a little bit in our previous conversation, but I'd love to dive a little bit deeper into it now. And that is this idea of, you know, one of the big questions I think for young adults is the idea of finding out what is God's will. Like if I had a nickel for every time I was asked by a listener, Lisa, can you just help me figure out what does God want me to do? And it could be something today, it could be this week, it could be my whole life, you know, how am I supposed to figure out, you know, you alluded to this, who I'm supposed to marry? What about this guy? What about this guy? And we talk a lot and bandy about the idea of like, well, you know, hearing from God, listening to God, all of this stuff. And it sounds a little bit like out there. And so I would love for you to talk about and how this was reflected in your own journey. How do we really know if God is speaking to us? What does it look like to discern the will of God and hear through the right means of what, you know, because again, we probably shouldn't be looking at random billboards or flipping pages of something mm-hmm. and pointing to some random spot on the page. So what for you, Janine, does it look like to actively seek God's will and understand in discernment what he wants of you?
Great question, Lisa. It's definitely something I wrestled with quite a bit. And I made an entire chapter dedicated to decisions and how to hear the voice of God, because it is something that people ask me all the time. Like, how do I know if this is from God? And I think there's a couple ways that you should go about this process of understanding, is this from God? Number one, I would always go to the word of God and remember that God's word will never contradict. God will not be a God of confusion. And so if something is leading you towards sin and you're like, oh, I think God's bringing me to this, it's no. The answer is no, because God will never lead you towards sin. Satan will. And so immediately that rules it out. You're like, okay, not from God. And also I think through God's people, you know, God's people are such an amazing tool, as I talked about, I think in the last episode, how God's people can really help you discern, but it's asking the right people, because everyone can speak into your life, but not everyone has the right wisdom and authority to speak into your life. And so when you are seeking accountability or asking for advice, you want to ask people that are where you'd want to be, or people that you trust, or someone that you know knows the word of God, or someone older that's maybe been through what you've already been through, and say, hey, will you help me discern? is this right or wrong? You know, I remember when I was dating my now husband, I asked several people I trusted, will you help me make the right decision in choosing my spouse? And many people went along the process with me of looking at his character, looking at our history, looking at the things that we were going through. And they said, we think this is a great person for you. We really think this is a godly man. And so don't make decisions alone. I think there's this saying from Jonathan Pecluda that says, all bad ideas are made in isolation. And so don't make decisions in isolation. I talk about that a lot. And also, I think sometimes you just have to process, okay, what makes most sense? Does going to this college that provides a scholarship and it's going to have great community there and it's not too far away from my house and it's affordable, does that make most sense than a college that's a party school or that's 3 hours away or that's going to put you into severe debt? Sometimes I think we make it more complicated than it needs to be. It's like, let's simplify and just say, okay, that one makes most sense. And then I also think, like I said before, just waiting on the Lord, God's going to show you with confirmation. And I think oftentimes God will lead us in places that require more dependency on him. And so sometimes we are like, oh, that makes sense because I want to do it. And I think sometimes God asks us to step out in faith, like the way that God asked Abraham with his son Isaac, I'm asking you to step out in faith. I know you don't want to do this, but it's going to create a deeper relationship to me. And so even another way that you can know is this from God is, will it lead you closer to God? Will this lead you further to God or further away from God? And so those are some ways you can definitely decipher and determine, but also knowing that I've said in the end of this chapter that you can't really mess up. If you're not living in willful sin, you're not purposely trying to be like, screw you, God, I'm going to do whatever I want to do my way or the highway, then you know, okay, God's going to have my back, because the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and everything else will be added unto you. So if your goal is to say, God, I want to seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, everything else will work itself out. If you get off the path, he will redirect you by giving you a spirit of conviction, the Holy Spirit tapping you on your shoulder, hey, you're going the wrong way. So God will lead you, even if you feel like maybe you're making the wrong decision, and hopefully your community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so good. I'm thinking as you're talking, coming up here, I'm going to be speaking at a church on the topic of joy. And as I was doing a lot of research around that, it came up over and over again that really the secret to joy, which isn't just a feeling or it's not circumstantial or whatever, it's born out of obedience and abiding in Christ and just that restfulness of trusting that he really does have so many good things for us. And it's not, we don't have to go after all of them at once and we don't have to manufacture them. There is so much that he has for us. Really, all we're called to do is stay plugged into Jesus and be obedient, walk it out, and just trust him that he's seen the bigger picture. So that's a good application of that you're talking about there. So much there. Amen. So that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is just a reminder, like I try to make my book as practical as possible so that when people are flipping through it, they're really getting something out of it where they do know at the end of this chapter, okay, I know how to make decisions. I know what God's voice sounds like. I know how to process these decisions. And so I really am praying that this book blesses people.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the topic of adventure, because you do bring that up in the book as well. And I think that's a fun, definitely a fun thing for us to discuss, because, you know, that sense of just being willing to step out in faith, you don't know where God's going to meet you. Last week, we talked about your trip to Israel. I know you have your friend Penny who convinced you to go to Hawaii with her,
yeah.
Which was just, and a lot of these things are like, you know, there are so many listening who I would say just from my friends and the experiences that I've seen, you know, some of this is great to do before you have kids, you know, before, even before you get married in some instances, you know, because you have to consider another person here. But there are also ways that you can infuse adventure into your life and trust God with neat things and step out in faith that don't have to be huge and they don't have to be expensive and it doesn't have to be some kind of Instagram situation where you're just going to try to blow everyone else away with your amazingness or all your experiences. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about that, because I think it is fun to think that you know, a lot of people can say, Janine, like, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I shouldn't really be like into adventure, or I shouldn't be into just excitement. I'm just supposed to plod along and walk it out or whatever. But that's not really what God has for us. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I feel like that's just such baloney. I think like God gave us the earth to enjoy and to have dominion over and to explore and to see. And I think some of my most amazing memories are from when I was traveling and encounters with God and encounters with other people, of meeting people all over the world. And so I think adventure, if maybe you don't have the capacity or the margin or the finances right now, I encourage people, I'm like, get in your car, pack a bag, and drive somewhere new that you've never been, because you don't know the people you're going to meet and the things that are going to happen when you say yes. And I talk about this, your yes in the book. And so I feel like a lot of people limit ourselves, or what you were saying earlier, we compare like, well, I'm not in Bali, so where can I go? And it's like, well, your backyard might have a really cool adventure where you get a tent and you get a little bonfire and you get out there and look at the stars, or maybe a 3-hour drive out of your city. I think it's a really cool way to gain new experiences, meet new people, gain new memories, and do something with even maybe the people you love. Gather your friends, gather your spouse, and say, you know what, let's go on an adventure. I think a lot of us become so comfortable and so in the mundane, and where we don't ever think, okay, what's something new and refreshing and fun that I can do? And I'm just like, man, this world is so big. This country is so big for us not to go out there and see. And it doesn't have to be this lavish, extravagant thing. I talk about in the chapter many ways you can save money. You can find cheap flights. There's different ways I found cheap flights on, like googleflights.com. Like, it doesn't have to be this expensive thing. And so I want to encourage people that the world is so big and life is too short to not go out there and see it and live it and experience it, and stop being jealous of people on Instagram. Like, you too can have these memories and these adventures yourself. And I think if you prioritize it, you save some money, it could happen as well for you.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because sometimes it could be even a little mini Sabbath, even within a day, or just taking a break and doing something different. I remember just last week I was reading in a study by Beth Moore, and she was talking about going. She'd had a series of meetings and it had been a really hard day, and she was driving home and she's like, I think God just wants me to stop off at the zoo and like just look at koalas. And she, I don't know if she specifically likes koalas or what, but she just went into the zoo, bought a Starbucks, and sat there looking at the koalas, sipping her coffee. And I just thought,
I love it.
That's a great, you only need an hour to do that. You know, you don't have to go to Bali. You don't have to, but sometimes it's just like, I need to divert from the usual, and I need to, you know, and she said it was just a sweet time, and she ended up just having a little time in prayer and everything else. And so it was so cool to see that walked out, you know, even from someone who's steps ahead of us in her own journey. And we all need those kind of breaks and those differences, you know, just something a little different. So that's cool.
I agree. I feel like even just a quick little drive to the lake. I do that a lot, where I'll get my blanket, I'll get my pillow, I'll get my Bible and my books, and I'll just go sit at the lake and just sit in silence and pray and have worship music on every now and then. And it doesn't even have to be another country. It could really be within 20 minutes of your house. And so just an encouragement for people to try new things.
Yeah, absolutely. So one, well, you've done a couple adventures recently that, I mean, not too recently, but two adventures I want to talk about and trusting God in them is one, starting your show. Because I know you said, I mean, this isn't like, people think that to start a podcast, it's like you're going to have all these sponsors and you're just going to go out like you're Kelly Clarkson or something like that, you know, and a lot of it's starting small. So I want you to talk about God showing up and walking you, you know, your faith through that process. And then also, because we were talking a little bit at the break about your marriage 4 months in, and how God showed up for you in that adventure and what he's taught you in that. So use those two examples just to talk through God's goodness in that.
Oh man, God is so good. I really think when you come to God with an open heart and a heart that's willing just to say, okay, God, I'm going to say yes. And I don't know what you're going to do with my obedience and my yes, but I do know that blessings are on the other side of obedience. And it doesn't always come in the form of money or status or fame or whatever. It comes in just deeper intimacy with the Lord and Him trusting you with more. And so when I started this podcast, it was hilarious. I had wanted to start a podcast for so long, and I thought of every excuse in the book. I don't have a microphone. I don't have a good camera. I don't have a studio. I don't even know what to call it. I mean, I thought of every excuse in the book. And finally, when the pandemic was, you know, there, and I was like, I have no excuse. I have all the time in the world. I'm just going to do it. And I took an old junky photo that I didn't think that was that great. I put some text on it, bought a cheap $100 microphone off Amazon. I used my MacBook webcam that is not that great. And I thought of the name. I said, what does everybody want to be? They want to be happy and healthy. Let's talk about it. And I just started it. And you're absolutely right. I made $0 for like a year and a half, like at least, like minimum. And I remember being like, God, this is so difficult. Why did you lead me to this? Or did you lead me to this? There's no money in this. And I think when you are starting a dream or whatever, you can't only think about just the results or just think about the financial process that you're going to get. You have to think, has God called me to this? And am I willing to be obedient even if I don't see the results right away? I think a lot of us are quick to quit and be like, nope, don't. I'm not seeing the fruit. I'm not seeing the finances. I'm not seeing the people watching. But if you show up continually, faithfully, God blesses that. And it may be in a 3 years, 4 years. And I just say, be faithful, you know? And so I am so glad I stuck with it because my podcast is my favorite thing I do. When I meet people now, they don't say, oh my gosh, I watch your YouTube. They say, I listen to your podcast. And I'm like, whoa, you actually listen to this thing? So it's really cool what God does. And even in marriage, you know, I talked about, I had heartbreak and I thought I was going to be single for a good bit. And the Lord was so faithful to bless me with a spouse. And my story with him is a whole crazy story. He's 4.5 years younger than me. And we had very different stories. And I was like, God, are you sure this is who you have for me? And God just kept showing me, yes, 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 yes. And I said, okay, God, I believe that this is the man that you have for me. And I stepped out in faith, and he's the most amazing partner ever. He works with me. He's the biggest advocate and fan of everything I do. And so really, when you step out in faith and you ask God for his way, not yours, he blesses it. He honors it. He uses it. And it, like I said before, you may not see that right away, but when you stay faithful and you keep asking God to show you along the way, he does. And I'm so, so glad. And my marriage is so fun. I love it. And so y'all don't date only your type. Date the unexpected, because God uses that unexpected person in really, really cool ways.
What a fun story and good word there. So, all right. Well, folks, we have been talking to our friend Janine Amapola here about her book, Becoming Happy and Healthy, Real Life Advice on Friendship, Dating, Career, and Everything Else You Care About. And we're making her book available for a gift of any amount to Boundless this week. So you're going to go over to boundless.org, search for 845, this week's episode. You'll see the book cover there. Click on it. You give a gift to Boundless. We will send a copy of her book as our thank you. So a great thing to do with friends, read through, and just really process, how am I trusting God? Where could I trust God more? I think that'd be a great exercise for all of us to do. So you can go ahead and get a copy there. Janine, thanks again for showing up with us and being part of this conversation.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It was so much fun, and I really pray the book blesses your listeners.
I will trust in Jesus' power. By this power I will endure. Though my flesh may fail, I stand secure. I will trust in Jesus' power. Chris, come on. Oh, I will trust in Jesus now.
All right, here we are for our inbox, and I have the privilege of answering this week's question, which is really fun. Someone wrote in and actually asked of me, what are some life-altering moments you've had in your walk with the Lord? And this is such a fun question to answer because I lead a small group and I've discipled a number of young women throughout the last, 10 years, maybe, let's say, or maybe even longer. And it's always fun to actively think through these times because it's helpful for me, in addition to hopefully being helpful to someone who is a few steps behind me growing in their own walk and just realizing that there are a lot of great things to glean from this. I know there are some people out there, I think it was a Beth Moore study that I did years ago where she talked about these kind of things as God stops. And there are things, in fact, I would highly encourage you to take your own story and plot it on a timeline and look for the times in your life where God has truly shown up in a way that has blessed you, has rocked your world, has actually changed your opinion on something, has grown you spiritually. It's just a great opportunity to go after growth and to give God the credit that is due him. So that said, I'm going to run through a couple things really quickly just so that you can kind of see elements of my own timeline. I'm going to start, first of all, like maybe I'll go back into a heritage piece of the fact that I grew up in a home where my parents loved the Lord and I had a godly legacy is a gift that I do not treat lightly. And so I think of that as one of my awesome God stops of even being born into an environment where Jesus was Lord and was exalted within my home. So definitely one to think through. The other one I'm going to say is in college, I ended up going to a Christian college where I hadn't intended to. In fact, I had intended to go to Yale, and there were a couple other schools that I had applied to as well. I was very much pursuing success and notoriety and all this stuff. I'd been a classic overachiever throughout school. And for a couple of different reasons, I went through the SATs, I went through the Yale interview process, all of that. I didn't end up going to Yale. And so as a result, I went to a Christian college where I thought, I'm going to give this a year and then bounce. And I didn't. And really through my classes there, through the student life, and specifically through the example of my roommate in college, I learned how to take my faith for my own, to get out from under my parents' spiritual shadow, to chase after Jesus for my own purposes and for my own spiritual growth. And really her example of showing what it looks like to pursue the spiritual disciplines, to love Jesus with all her heart, to stand up for her faith when it mattered was a great example to me. All right, then I'm going to jump ahead to my dad's death being super formative for me. Up until that point, I had never lost anyone super close to me. That was just a period in life where God was very near to me and actually taught me a few things specifically about leaning into him and trusting him and recognizing that he was my father and that he would carry me through, not just that moment, but through my entire life. Beyond that, I'm going to go into something that's very huge theologically for me, and that was when I came to a true understanding of the gospel of grace. I've talked about this a lot on the show. Some would say that it's kind of what made me lean into what some would call a reformed theology. But more important than what we call it, it is understanding that I cannot earn God's love. He chooses to love me, and he loves me as much on my worst day as he does on my best day, because when he chose me and put his seal on me and saved me, there is nothing that I can do to walk out of that love or to walk out of my salvation or unearn it or disappoint him or whatever. This is outlined. In fact, I'm going to bring this friend on the show at some point, my friend Bill Tell, who wrote a book called Lay It Down. If you want to read a great book on what I'm talking about, and there are many out there, but Lay It Down is a great example of one man's story of coming to grips with this. I'm going to say my caregiving season for my mom was another pivotal one for me, again, in trusting God and not trying to control things, including my own life, my mom's life, my siblings, everything in the world around me. That was a huge lesson in really putting all my eggs in God's basket and knowing that he is sovereign and he is good. And then finally, I would say a lesson that I'm learning right now is this idea that for me to love others, I can only love them with the love that God gives me. I am a conduit of God's love. I cannot muster up love for people. I can't white knuckle it. I can't just choose to love people who I think are lovable and forget everyone else. We are called and commanded to love. And so that's something I'm walking through right now. on the daily, and it's been a neat journey with God in the process. So, well, hopefully those are a few touch points that are encouraging to you. And as we all walk out our journeys with Jesus, I pray that we can kind of see those, as I said before, God stops and recognize how he really is involved in not only the big things in life, but in every single little detail that we walk through. So let that be an encouragement to you. All right, folks, that is it for this week's show. Again, we do want to hear from you. Hit us up in our DMs on social and just say what you like about the show, something that's been encouraging to you. I know I put a shout out in the e-newsletter a couple weeks ago about doing that. And so we would love to hear from you in whatever way you want to get in touch with us. In the meantime, I'll see you around next week. It's Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org from Focus on the Family.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.